Hello, and welcome to another Fools Media Group production of The Networking Fools, with your networking fools and hosts, J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter, as they discuss business, finance, and lifestyle.
Hello, everybody. This is J.W. Najarian with the Fools Media Group, along with Bob Schechter. How you doing, Bob?
Morning, J.W.
Listen, we got the wonderful Paul Hoffman with us today. I'm pretty excited to get Paul on. I've been trying to get him on for a long time, and we finally got the calendars worked out, so I'm excited. Anyway, so we've got Paul Hoffman with us today, and Paul is, for people that don't know Paul, he's an internationally known speaker. He's an author, trainer, coach, and transformational songwriter. He's the CEO, visionary, and chief creative officer of the Success Creation Institute, Success Songs LLC, Paul Hoffman Music, and Blue Music and Sound Design. Paul Hoffman's been a trainer, a coach. Paul, this is a long bio, so I'm gonna be asking you a lot of these questions. But Paul, I've known you for a long time, and I know that you've written commercial jingles, you've written all kinds of great music you've done movie scores, you've written all kinds of music for gurus such as T. Harv Eker, Mark Victor Hansen, Robert Allen, Brendan Burchard. The list is humongous. And that's why we're excited to have you today, because you're a guy who bridges this gap between creativity and business and how to just get success in your life. And that doesn't necessarily mean money, but we're just talking about success, period. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So, Paul, just so everybody knows who you are, everybody will know you by this one. Paul wrote the jingle. You may have heard this before. Have you driven a Ford lately? And he's written for all these great gurus. I mentioned some of them, Cynthia Kersey, also Janet Atwood, and Paul Sheely. Paul Sheely's a music writer, isn't he? And you wrote music for him anyway?
No, he's not a music writer. Paul Sheely's a developer of programs that help people create success in their life. He's also a expert in brain technology and accelerated learning. He's actually was a founder in a company called Learning Strategies, which is a company in Minneapolis, and he developed a process called photo reading, and also a audio technology called paraliminal technology. And he and I actually have a company together called Paul R Squared, and we're doing a program right now that actually launches. It's called Day Sculpting, and it's a 90-day program designed to teach people how to create their life one day at a time. So,
well, I want to get into all these programs. You got some great programs out there, but let's talk about you real quick. How did you? Who is Paul, and how did you get into all this into the music?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'll give you the short end of it, and hopefully it'll be short enough. First of all, thank you so much, guys, for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to share with your audience ways for them to really step into their life and who they are, and to give them some strategies and tools and some insights into sometimes what's necessary to make that shift in your life, so that you're actually doing what it is that you want to do in your life rather than what you think other people want you to do. Really about being you and being in your authentic power and living your dream. So thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
A little bit about me is, when I grew up, growing up, I was very much into sports and wanted to be a professional basketball player. So I went to college on a basketball scholarship and realized when I got there, and this is a clear indication, folks who are listening, that you really got to be able to, if you want to create something in your life, you have to be really in the energy of what that is, so that every day you're doing something that moves you forward towards your desired destination. I call it having a chief aim in life, because if you have a chief aim in life, then you're aiming for something. So when I got to college, I realized that, it's going to take a lot of work to be a professional basketball player. So, I took the other route, which was the easy route, which some of us sometimes do. And later on in life, what happens is you realize that you're missing something, or you missed out on something. And so I quit school, and I went on the road as a tour manager for rock bands. I worked for Pink Floyd and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and many others. And and then did that for 6 years, and then I decided I was going to get a law degree. Went back to school and was going to NYU and doing really well, you know, really present. And at that point in my life, I was focused. I knew what I wanted to do. And then, you know, another little shift happened, and my brother was a recording engineer working for a company in New York that did music for advertising, or jingles, as some people know them.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going to work for them and quitting school and becoming very successful in the jingle world. As you mentioned, JW, I wrote a little ditty that's in the Advertising Hall of Fame called Have You Driven a Ford Lately, which was rated one of the top 10 songs of all times. And what happened was, along the way, I acquired a great drug and alcohol problem. And I am sober over 22 years, and what happened was, you know, my life was really, really tremendous from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you looked at me, you know, I was well-dressed and, you know, hopefully well-spoken, top of my game, had all the trappings of life, all material things, vacationed, you know, in the Hamptons and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, on the inside, I was actually miserable. And you know, experiencing a lot of dark periods. And so there was obviously a fight going on, like a tennis match in between, you know, within me and without me, within me and outside of me. And so what happened was I had this drug and alcohol problem that basically caused me to lose my business. So I went from a multi-million-dollar business to zero.
Well, let's back up a little bit, Paul, because, you know, you went over it real quick. You said, you know, you quit going after the basketball thing to go out and take the easy route. And a lot of people would figure that, you know, you must be one of those doer kind of people, because the easy route for you is becoming a tour manager for bands like Pink Floyd. That's not something that everybody just falls into every day. So, I mean, you had to have a lot on the ball.
Yeah. I appreciate that, and yes, I mean, I was smart, you know, and I was, you know, I had drive and ambition and so forth, but you know, when I say about the easy way out, I'm talking about, you know, everybody on this call, including me, you, and Bob, you know, we all have an aspiration, a dream, something that we've always wanted to do in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing mine now, and I know you guys are doing yours, and I'm sure some of the other folks on the call are doing theirs, but there are people out there who aren't doing theirs, who aren't living their dream, who aren't doing the one thing that they've always wanted to do in their life, but they just don't do it. And the reason they don't do it is for a few different reasons. One, they just don't believe they can do it. Two, they're listening to their outside circumstances and allowing their outside circumstances to control their inner reality. And three, they're just not dedicated enough. You know, they don't want to take the effort that it takes to create that kind of thing. And so I didn't. So that's what I meant. So although, you know, I've had great success in my life and I continue to do that now, you know, there was at one point in my life where, you know, I kind of thought that, you know, I'll just take the easy way, and I won't put the work in. And so I didn't really follow my passion. Does that make sense?
Are you saying that that's what caused the dark periods, is the fact that you weren't living in your mind up to your full potential and living your passion?
What caused the dark periods was, that was one thing, but really what more mostly caused my dark periods in life was because I was not being who I was, my authentic self. I was living a life that included, you know, drugs and alcohol that would cause me to stuff my emotions and my feelings so that I wouldn't really face, you know, each day with an openness to experience exactly what was going on in my life. And so, you know, the false sense of having the drugs and alcohol to fall back on like a crutch, you know, actually caused me to get further and further away from my true self.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, I ended up, you know, as I say, acquiring a great drug and alcohol problem, and you know, about 15 years after that, in 1988, I hit rock bottom. You know, again, nobody wanted to work with me anymore in the music world, in the commercial music world, because I was impossible to work with. And I didn't even want to hang out with myself some days. I ended up hitting a very crazy rock bottom. And what happened was I made a decision. You know, everybody has a defining moment in life.
Oh, yeah.
And so my defining moment, and I should say everybody has a few defining moments, you know. But one of my big ones was, you know, when I realized that if I continued on that path that I was going on,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be talking today. You know, I would have definitely died. And so, thank God, you know, I turned my life around, and I'm here to talk about it today, and just let everybody know on the call that, you know, it will never get so hard that you'll have to give up on your life. Yeah, some people do take their own life, and that's some. I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, you always have a choice in life. You always have a choice to take the higher road so that that you live, if you can really live from your higher purpose. And even though, I mean, if you're going through economic times or you're having tough times in relationships or whatever it might be in life, the really true fact of the matter is, everybody, is that you have the choice to shift that consciousness. You really do. And I'm not saying it's easy to do that. Sometimes it is. But you know, you have to be able to make the commitment to do that. And if you do that, then I can guarantee you that sooner than later, your life will change. It really will. But you've got to be the one to make that shift.
Right. Hang on a second, though. I know that, you know, Bob has talked to me about issues because I brought up some of mine. I went through a deep depression in my life, and there was something that I can name that happened that was a catalyst for my change, and I'm sure Bob feels the same way about when he came out of his issues. What was the catalyst for yours? I mean, because you're talking about people just choosing, and I remember when I was in my depression, it wasn't a choice for me. Something happened that made me need to change or start to change. Was there a catalyst for you, or did you just sit down and say, that's it? Or, I mean, what happened there?
Well, the catalyst was that, you know, I woke up one day and the pain was so great. You know, that's usually what happens. That's what happens when you know, you finally decide to make a change in your life. Some people are so afraid to make changes because they're fearful of what's on the other side because, you know, they can't see it.
Right.
And so the truth of the matter is that, you know, I teach people how to use fear as a motivator. Because, you know, if you get into a good enough dose of fear, then you will definitely do something to get out of that fear, and usually what will happen is it'll be something that will take you to the next level in your life. And so for me, the pain was so great, the discomfort, the self-worth issues, all the stuff that was going on in me that made me look at myself and not want to look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
Was so great that I had to do something, and luckily I was kicked in the butt by a little health scare, by the fact that, you know, if I kept drinking and using drugs the way I was, at the level that I was, you know, a month or two more I would have been dead.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned two types of motivation. You know, you were talking earlier about having something to focus on and a direction to go in, and you also talk about the motivation of fear. And the two motivations are you're either running towards something or you're running away from something. And so now you've mentioned both. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, you know, the way I look at being able to take each day and live in its fullest, which is really what my day sculpting program is about,
mm-hmm.
is you got to make a decision. First of all, you got to know what you want. Okay, so when you know what you want, then you're going to be able to take the actions necessary to get to where you want to go. Okay,
mm-hmm.
if you don't take the actions, then you're going to stay in the same place. So being in action in life creates a forward motion. It creates what I call momentum mindsets. And momentum mindsets are simply just mindsets that just encourage you to keep moving towards your desired destination. The opportunity to do that is present for you in every moment of your day. What holds you back are things like, I don't know enough, you know, I don't have enough money. Who's going to like what I do? You know, my wife doesn't like what I'm doing. My girlfriend doesn't like what I'm doing. My friends don't like what I'm doing. And the list goes on and on and on. In essence, you're living your life in the energy of what other people want you to do.
Is that lack consciousness kind of deal?
Absolutely. And when you do that, what happens is you're not moving forward. You're actually staying still and moving backwards because you're in a state of confusion, if you will. You're in a place where, you know, you don't have a solid commitment to what it is that you want in life. You're actually and I've heard this term, a friend of mine told me this term, you're in a place of comparison despair. So you keep comparing yourself to what you think what other people want you to be, rather than just being who you really are.
Yeah, that it's been told to me before that, you know, we have there's like three of us, and that's the person that I am out in public, the person that I tell myself I am, and the person I really am.
Absolutely. It's like there's three sides to every story. Three sides to every story. Yours, mine, and the truth, right?
That's right.
Things come in threes. Things come in threes. That's why, you know, in my day sculpting program, I teach people to create three success steps every day. Okay, don't give me a list of 20 things to do because you'll never do it. You know, we have a tendency to put ourselves in overwhelm. And one of the biggest things about moving forward or moving backwards, like you were talking about, guys, was that, you know, we live in a time when there's tons of distractions that are going on in our life that are competing for our time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are able to get yourself into a daily habit of being able to focus out those distractions and focus in on what it is that you truly want to create in your day, then you will have a successful day. And the way I teach people how to live their life is one day at a time. Because, you know, you don't need to be in the future. You don't need to be in the past. I mean, the only thing you should think about in the past is the lessons that you've learned or the good things that have happened that you can build a foundation on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're going to still be wallowing on what happened yesterday and be stuck in that energy, then that's what you're going to focus on. But if you get to focus on what you really want because you've declared what you really want, then you're more apt to be able to attain it.
Right.
And so if you get
it on expand, hopefully.
Well, but not everybody knows exactly what they want. Most people just know that what they have is not what they want. And it's very difficult.
But that's good, Bob. That's good what you just said. Yeah. And,
well,
and
but because, I mean, my thinking is that, I mean, obviously we don't want any of our listeners and our members to have to hit rock bottom to be able to realize that what you're purporting is that you just need to shift your direction. If you're not happy in the direction you're going, you need to shift it. But then again, you know, most people haven't hit rock bottom, and they're not necessarily running away from something. You know, I think it was my guru, Tony Robbins, who said, people are busy making a living and forget that they're supposed to be making a life. And I noticed that everything you've done has been based on the music that's been in your life, and kind of you've wrapped music around everything, and I love that because sound and smell connect us emotionally, and that's the strongest compelling motivations that we have. So how do you get somebody that's kind of floating around the middle, hasn't reached rock bottom, and push them in that direction?
Yeah, I also want to know how, you know, music's a big part of your life, obviously. How has music shaped your life also?
Well, yeah, okay. First of all, I'm not suggesting, with all due respect, I'm not suggesting that you have to hit rock bottom.
Right.
But I am suggesting that, you know, in order for change to happen in your life, you've got to be so fed up with the way your life is going now that you got to do something different.
Mm.
So you don't have to lose all your money. You don't have to lose your house. You don't have to lose your loved ones in order to make a change. But you know, you got to be able to get up in the morning and all of a sudden one day you got to look at things the way things are and go, you know what? This just isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not getting the results that I want. Now, most people will know what the results that they want are, even if it's a dream. Correct? And so what you got to do is you got to really give yourself the opportunity and the time envision the outcome that you want in your life. What do you want your life to look like? And unless you can do that, then you're going to keep floundering in the old hamster world of going around the hamster wheel, because you're never clear about what you want. And so clarity is going to be your first step. And so how do you get clear about what you want? Well, you know, what I would recommend people do is, you know, sit down and make a list. Make a list of all the things you're good at.
Right.
And then make a list of all the things you're not good at.
Right.
Right.
That you're doing.
Yeah.
And then go back to the list of the things that you're good at and make another list next to that one which says, if I did this, which I am good at, what would my life look like?
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
It's just really simple. Because you know what you're good at.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I want to know, you know, because there's a lot of people I know, that Paul, that are they're scared to make a change. Let's say somebody's making $250,000 a year. They're not living their passion. They're miserable. But they're you know, they've got all the trappings and everything, and they're scared to death to say, okay, I'm going to quit that job and change my life and go do my passion, which is gardening or whatever it is. Sometimes, you know, we're told by so many people that in order to be happy that you have to live your passion. But there's some people that have many passions out there, and it gets scary to say, I'm going to choose one of these and go after it. I remember when I chose to leave the IT world, which I was very successful in, to do my passion, which was real estate, and I moved into real estate and realized that it was more less of a passion and more of a hobby for me. So you know, and I lost a lot of money doing that, and a lot of, you know, it was hard. So people don't want to rush into these things. Can you do it in steps so that you don't have to quit everything and change your life, you know, drastically?
Absolutely. I would recommend that you always do things in steps. You know, I took a course in spiritual psychology, and at the University of Santa Monica. It's a wonderful course. It really, really was one of my defining moments. Mm-hmm. And you know, they talked about doing 3 foot tosses in life. And so in my Dayfelding program, I talk about, as I mentioned, about doing, what are your 3 success steps you're going to take today. So 3 foot tosses are things that are actually measurable. You can actually achieve them. Just imagine where you are right now, who's ever listening, and looking 3 feet in front of you. So there's 1, 2, 3. I'm there now. So if you can do 3 foot tosses, then what happens is you're achieving things. You're getting to the wins in your life. And so as you continue to do 3 foot tosses and get, here's one thing I need to do, just got there. Here's the next one I need to do, just got there. Here's the next one. In those kind of easy and manageable ways, then what happens is, you know, you get through a week and you look back and you realize, oh my God, I've come this far. How can I? Now, if you went like, tomorrow I'm going to be, I want to be a lawyer. I'm going to, you know, I just need, you know, you need to go through, you know, 6 years of or 8 years of school to do that. You know, or tomorrow I want to, you know, get into the real estate market and I'm going to go buy my first house. Well, you know, you got to have some preparation to do that. You got to kind of know what you got to do or else you're going to lose your shirt, correct? So what needs to happen is there's a certain amount of foundation that has to be laid in anything you do for you to get good at it. You know, Michael Jordan shot 100 foul shots before every practice. And I think if he missed 10, he shot 100 more. You know, so he developed a practice. So when you develop a practice, or you know, we can call it a ritual, we can call it a habit, whatever you want to call it, when you develop a practice that allows you to get good at what it is that you want to do, then you are going to be able to get good at it, and then it's going to become second nature to you, and you're going to continue to be able to create the outcomes that you want because you're going to be in a positive energy space around what it is you're doing. So many people want to have that quick fix, the instant gratification.
Right.
You know, there's a study was done that people quit doing something between 3 and 5 times if they don't get the instant gratification that they're looking for. Now imagine that.
Well,
okay, picking up.
People have emotional attention deficit disorder. They can be passionate about something for maybe a day at a time.
That's true. And the reason that they're passionate about it for a day at a time, Bob, is because they're really not passionate about it.
That's true.
Okay, if you were passionate about it, then you would do whatever it took to master it. And mastery is the art of being able to be enthusiastically optimistic.
I like that.
About what it is you're doing. So I'm trying to learn the guitar. You know, I'm a musician. I'm a songwriter. I'm not a great player. You know, I'm a good songwriter. But you know, I decided, I'm going to pick up the guitar. I think it would be fun to do. Well, I picked up the guitar. I'm looking at it right now in my house. Hello, guitar. And I picked that guitar up 1,000 times. Okay? Now, I am still learning the guitar.
Right.
Because I have days where I'll pick that guitar up and my fingers won't do what I want them to do. But when I first started on the guitar, I was ready to put the guitar down because I put my fingers on it and I said, Jesus, they're not doing what I want to do. And I started to give myself all the excuses of why I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Which is what people do.
I know that analogy very well.
And so in order for me to get better, I had to pick the guitar up. I had to get rid of the mindset of being stuck in the attachment to an outcome. Okay? I have a vision that I want to play guitar, but I don't have to have an outcome that if I don't play it, if I'm not Eric Clapton tomorrow, then what's the point, if you will? So the when you get rid of the attachment to the outcome, then what happens is you can enjoy the process.
Well, that's what Bob and I do. That's kind of our mantra, Paul. We, you know, along I do. I the guitar analogy is perfect for me because I'm a professional guitarist, and I never got to the. After all the years I've played, I never got to the place I wanted to be at. But I still went out on the road and played with bands and had fun and did great stuff. Even though I never hit where I wanted to hit. And it's the same thing we do with our show and all the things we do. We don't consider ourselves great interviewers. But there was a point where analysis paralysis sets in and you you hate your voice and you hate your looks and you're not sure if what you're doing is right. And then you have to turn around and say, you know what, we really want to do this, let's just do it. And if we screw up the interview, well then it's screwed up. But let's move.
Right.
Exactly. So you made the decision and you just said, you know what, I'm going to do it. You know, there's a great quote. Again, guys, it's, you know, the whole thing about the guitar. It's like, so anyway, so just to finish that loop, so I pick it up, and some days I go, wow, this is great, and some days it's like, it's not. But you know what? That's okay. I'm just learning along the way. The great, you know, there's a great quote about Thomas Edison when someone asked him why he continued to try to invent the light bulb after he failed 10,000 times. And he said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just found 10,000 ways it didn't work.
Right.
He said, failures are for people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. So the point of the matter is that, you know, don't shortchange yourself. You know, don't beat yourself up. If you can't make a mistake when you're doing something, how are you going to get better at it?
That's true, but what about the guys that you're into music, the American Idol guys? And these singers come up, you know, the first half of the season is these guys coming up and auditioning, and they absolutely cannot sing. It's obvious to everybody in the room and everybody in the audience that they can't sing, but they believe they can.
Right.
When do you give up on a dream? When do you figure it out? Because there's some people, I mean, you watch the Shark Tank when these guys come in with their idea, and they've hawked their house, they've hawked everything, and they're going to sell their kids next to get the idea out, and they've been told by everybody that the idea is just not marketable.
There's a difference, at least JW, in giving up on your dream and listening to feedback and adjusting your vision.
There you go. That's great.
Okay, so don't give up on your dream. Just be open to the feedback that you get along the way that isn't designed to tell you to give up on your dream. It's really designed to tell you to become more present to your dream and to adjust it in ways that will enable it to become true.
No, that's great. That's good.
So somebody who's learning to create a business in real estate, we'll just use that because you brought that up earlier, you know, if they buy their first investment and they didn't do their due diligence and they lost their shirt, but they still wanted to be in the real estate world because that's what their dream is. They want to do that. They're passionate about it. It ignites the juices and they love it. So what they would do is, hopefully they would say, you know what, that way didn't work. What I need is I need to learn a little bit more about my due diligence and how do I do offers and whatever the terminology and the structure and systems of becoming good at real estate are, and then you got to learn to go do that. So what you're doing is you're in support of your dream by learning how to make it become your reality.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Let me mention something right now, Paul. First of all, people who want to get in touch with you, people are listening to this and they want to find out more information. We're going to go into some of your programs and talk about some of the programs that you offer, but how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me by going to the website www.successsongs.com, which is SUCCESSSONGS.com, 3 S's in the middle and a plural songs. They can get in touch with me there and they can find out all about what I do, from the music to my trainings to my coaching, and you know, just either look at the stuff and enjoy it. You can get a free song there, by the way, if you go there, and you can sign up, get a free song called It's My Time, which will inspire you to recognize that it's always your time. You know, see, the songs that I write for success songs are really my personal development messages put to music. So the songs that are really are designed to encourage you to hear your life from a higher vibration so that you can change your mindsets, behaviors, and beliefs, and finally begin to empower yourself to take action in your life.
Okay, let me back up a little bit because I want to go into that. But let me ask you, because you've written for so many incredible gurus out there, how did that happen? How did that come about?
It was kind of funny. After I decided this is probably five years ago, I wanted to get more into teaching and training people into really following their passion so that was, you know, more into this personal development world. I met a guy named Harv Eker, and I liked what he taught, and I liked his style. So he invited me to go to his Millionaire Mind Intensive. It's a 3-day course about how to change your money blueprint.
Yeah, it's a great course.
Because I'll tell you, folks, there's a lot of blueprints in life, and you know, I teach people about blueprints and theories and strategies. But you know, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over and getting the same results, that is what they call insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I can tell you, I know what insanity is, so I've got personal experience in it, and I would recommend that you don't go there if you don't have to. Okay, so. You know, changing your money blueprints is certainly going to help you get more money. If you look at why you're broke all the time, don't try to pawn it off, if you will, on your circumstances, because you can always change your circumstances. Just recognize that it's something to do with how you think, because everything's about how you think. Every thought that you create, and we create lots of thoughts during the day, but every thought that you create creates a choice. And in that choice is an action. And in that action is a consequence. And that's how it goes. So be mindful of what you're doing. So I met Harv, and he invited me to come to his Millionaire Mind Intensive. I sat in the audience, they introduced him, I said, ladies and gentlemen, here comes Harv Eker. He came on stage to the song Simply the Best. And I said to myself, wow, I wonder why he doesn't have his own song. And I just kind of registered that, you know, because my marketing mind came into play. 2 weeks later, I went to a Mark Victor Hansen event. good friend of mine as well, brilliant man, co-author Chicken Soup for the Soul with Jack Canfield. They've sold over 150 million books. That's 150 million. And just a little sidelight for all those listening again. This call is about inspiring you guys out there to really follow your passion once and for all. You don't got to do it alone. Okay, you got to be able to know what it is, as Bob was mentioning earlier, know what you want, and then find the team and the resources to help you get there. But these guys, Mark and Jack, very smart guys, wrote this Chicken Soup for the Soul series. They got turned down by 128 publishers. Okay? 128 publishers. They finally found a little publisher in Florida that would publish the book. They sold 150 million. Now, I talk about perseverance and dedication. Think about what Random House thinks right now, okay? So, again, guys, you get to create your circumstances.
We did an interview with Rick Frischman, who was the guy you were talking about.
So Mark Victor Hansen came on stage to song Simply the Best. So I called Harv up, and I said, you know, Harv, you know, people are using that same song when they get introduced. You need your own song. So he said, how would I do that? I said, I'll write it for you. So I wrote a song called I've Got a Millionaire Mind for his Millionaire Mind Intensive. And the song was really designed to teach people and to encourage people and to let people hear that there's a way for them to change their thinking. That's what all my songs are about. There's ways for you to change your thinking. And the songs talk about that. And that's how Success Songs started. And so I've written a bunch of songs for Harv. I've written a bunch of songs for other people in the personal development world. And now what I do is I really, just when I write a new song, I write a new song about a specific teaching that I want to do. No, because the power of music, and music being a universal language, is very, very strong, very powerful. It's a very powerful way for people to disconnect themselves from the lack and limitation mentality and to connect themselves to the unlimited abundance that's available to them.
And your songs are very positive, and I mean, every word has power. If you're singing a song that has a bunch of negative words in it, and you're actually hurting yourself.
Well, that's a great point, JW, and I think this is something that we should expand on for just a minute. You know, the bottom line is what you're saying is absolutely right. If you're not mindful of what you put into your body every day, from what you read, what you listen to, what you eat, how you think, then what happens is whatever you put into your body is what comes out. It comes out in the form of many different things. It comes out in the form of dis-ease and discomfort and so forth. So be really mindful about what you subject yourself to. So if you're going to subject yourself to negative stuff like you just mentioned, then your subconscious mind is going to capture that vibration, and that's what's going to start to show up for you. Because you're thinking, you know, you're being engulfed, if you will, by negativity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, you know, that segues perfectly into your platform called the Character of Success. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, Character of Success is something that, you know, came out of one of my defining moments. And just again, you know, about defining moments, guys, I have four or five of them a day, and sometimes more, and so do you. And a defining moment is just basically simply, okay, I came up to this wall in front of me, okay, now, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep banging into it? I categorize people, and I don't know if that's a good thing to do or not, but I'll take it, if it's a judgment, I'll own it, as bumpers or jumpers, you know? A bumper is somebody who keeps banging into the same thing over and over and just keeps banging into it. Bang, boom, go back. And they're always bouncing off something, okay, or bouncing back, if you will. You know, and a jumper is somebody who has just got the insight and the wisdom to figure out how to get around any kind of an obstacle because they're always in a solutions-oriented mindset. So they're always bouncing forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the Character of Success came out of my darkened despair, you know, that, you know, character, I think, is one of the greatest qualities that you have because people judge you by your character.
Right.
And so the Character of Success is about having being able to create a life of success. And if that
More importantly, Paul, that's how you judge yourself, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the things you do is you judge yourself by your character, but some people have a false sense of their character.
Ah, okay.
But you know, some people think that they're this when they're that. You know, they like to be that, but they don't know how to get there. So the character of success is simply a 9-step process that I take people through, which will help you create success in any area of your life. And it starts with having courage. Okay? You got to have the courage to take a risk in life. You have to have the courage to be an adventurer in life. You have to have the courage to be willing to discover more and more of who you are. So being courageous in your outlook in life, being willing to do the things that are uncomfortable, being willing to get out of your comfort zone, okay, will allow you to be open to what's really seeking to emerge from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you got to be honest with yourself. So honesty is you know, you've heard honesty is the best policy. Well, honesty is the only policy. So unless you're honest with yourself, and this goes back to what Bob said earlier, you know, unless you're honest and know what you want, how are you going to get it? Or unless you're honest with where you are right now on your journey, and we're all on a path on our journey, and we all have an individual journey. So unless you're honest where you are, you'll never be able to know what you need to do to get to where you want to go. So you got to be honest. And when you're honest, you know, that means getting out of your own way. Stop, like, you know, having grandiose BS run your life. Be willing to ask for help. And be willing to tell people where you are in life. But the first thing is you need to know where you are. The next part of the character assess is about attitude. What's your attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Attitude's everything. You know? How do you look at your day? How do you look at yourself? What is your attitude? Okay, are you an optimist? Are you positive, or are you negative? And are you always thinking you're a victim? You know, and I'll never get ahead because blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to fall into that. So your attitude's important.
That's a big one because we continually find people who don't realize that they are the common denominators in all their life's issues.
You know, listen, the truth of the matter, and that's very profound, JW, the truth of the matter is you create everything that happens to you in your life. I mean, that's the deeper universal law. Your inner reality will always create your outer circumstance, but you create everything that happens in your life by some choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, you know, I choose to go to the coffee shop and you know, I mean, this is a crazy thing, guys, but, you know, you choose to do things that are just not in support of your higher purpose. And sometimes we make choices that we're unconscious about. So the attitude aspect of life is if you have a focused and a positive attitude, an optimistic attitude, okay, then what will happen is you will face your day and face all the challenges that come to us, because we all have them, and they come fast and furious sometimes. You'll be able to be in a place that's going to allow you to work through anything. So your attitude is important. The next thing is about responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take responsibility for your life and everything that you do. I can't blame you, JW, for what happens to me. I can't blame you, Bob, for what happens to me. I can blame me for what happens to me.
Right. Although I do blame JW.
Well, that's okay. You know, I didn't want to get into that. You know, and all our listeners can blame him too. But the bottom line is, you got to take responsibility for your life. And when you take responsibility for life, you know what happens? You all of a sudden have a much deeper sense and appreciation for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads me to the next part, which is appreciation. You know, I wake up every morning, and the first things I do is I spend a few minutes with my gratitude process.
Mm-hmm. Attitude and gratitude.
You know, and I'm grateful for what I have in my life. I'm grateful for all my friends. I'm grateful for what they have in their life. So when you appreciate
that attitude of gratitude,
right? When you appreciate, then you know you get out of that poor little pity pot blah blahness that sometimes controls us. Appreciate what you have. So sometimes we don't take the time to look at all the beauty and all the gifts that we have, especially the gift of who we are as an individual.
So true.
And then after appreciation, you know, the next part is you got to be transparent. So transparency. When you're transparent, you know, like I can get on this call and I can tell you, yeah, man, I was this and I was that and so forth and so on. But you know what? I want to let everybody know that, listen, I went through some really rough, dark periods in my life. I want to be transparent about who I am. I want to let people know that, listen, if things aren't going well, this, you know, they're not going well. So when you're transparent, you will naturally attract to you. There'll be a natural attraction process.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will want to be with you because you are a authentic being. So transparency is important. The next thing that we talk about in Character of Success is enthusiasm. Now, needless to say, you know I'm enthusiastic.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And I just want to recommend to all the listeners that if you're doing something that you're not enthusiastic about, there's a really simple choice that you can make, and this is probably one of the most profound things I'll say to you on this call. Don't do it. Because unless you're enthusiastic about it, you'll never bring the fullness of who you are to it. You'll never bring your full energy to it. You'll never bring your full commitment to it. You'll always have, you've heard the expression, you'll have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And if you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you're never going to be on solid ground.
No, that's so true. I'm dealing with one of those right now, and you've just made up my mind what I need to do.
So be enthusiastic about what you do in every area of your life. Be enthusiastic when you're making your beautiful cup of cappuccino in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Be enthusiastic when you're making that beautiful cup of tea. I mean, I got my tea process, guys. I can't wait to drink that cup of tea. You know, be enthusiastic when you're doing your workout. Be enthusiastic when you're putting that really good food into you. Be enthusiastic when you've got those moments when you can share with your wife, or your partner, your loved one, or you can get to sit down with your kids and spend time with them. Be enthusiastic about it. Be enthusiastic when you sit down and you give yourself some time for critical thinking, which I would recommend to everybody. Spend a half hour a day doing critical thinking. And when you do critical thinking, then you can get to really do what Bob said earlier again, and I keep referring back to it because I loved it, you can get down to really being clear about what you want in life. But that comes with critical thinking and quieting your mind and getting all the distractions out of your freaking way and just sitting down and being present for what it is that you want and let the universe talk to you.
Yeah, no,
so be enthusiastic.
Is this part about you making your list, too?
In the morning, I make my list after I visualize my three things. Yeah, you know, that's part of the process. But you know, again, if you don't bring the fullness of who you are to everything, if you're not fully in it, if you're not the active participator in your life, then you're just an extra in that freaking movie that you're creating. And who wants to be an extra? You want to be the star,
right?
Right.
Okay, we have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling. And
I got to finish one more thing, though. One more thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, and the last part is the last thing of character success is you got to be able to learn how to reboot. And reboot is you got to release and renew. So one of the greatest things, the greatest challenges, the greatest opportunities that you have in life is to release things that no longer serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are able to do that, okay, and you know, when you release something that no longer serves you, it actually serves you. And it serves whoever you're releasing to. So for instance, if you're in a relationship that's not working for either one of you, the loving thing to do is to release it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if it takes a little time to get over it, don't worry, you'll be able to look back and go, Jesus, that was the best thing I ever did. Or in business or whatever it might be. So you got to be able to release what no longer serves you, and you've got to, when you do that, what happens is you open yourself up for something new to show up. So it's release and renew. And that's called reboot. And that's the character of success. And if you listen to what I said, that spells character. It's an acronym. Courage, honesty, awareness, responsibility, appreciation, transparency, enthusiasm, and reboot.
Okay, so we got a lot of people that are struggling, and a lot of people that are fearful and have, you know, and have been taught lack-mindedness. It's very hard for them.
Most people.
And they're hearing, I think they hear this, and they realize that there's universal and great truth here. But for the people that are struggling, what can they do, like, right now? What's the step they can take right now to at least start to make the shift? Obviously, go to your website, call you. You can start this wonderful program. But what can somebody do to start this shift off?
The first thing they got to do is they've got to just commit to doing something different.
Okay.
So if you can't pay your rent, JW,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason you can't pay your rent, right?
Yeah.
So what is the reason? Get very clear about what the reason is. Well, I don't have a job. Okay, good. Go get a job.
Mm-hmm. You're going to lose a lot of listeners with that one.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that, and I don't mean that in a negative way, Bob. I know.
And I think one of the issues that I have is that you're with us speaking to us because we know that you've come from the darkest side and been able to turn it around, and you have all these tools at your disposal that you didn't just find overnight. And you're an amazing person because, first of all, anybody that could find inspiration from Led Zeppelin, I was either on drugs or is an incredibly powerful and positive person. And of course, in your case, it was both. And I find that most people, that when you tell them, here are the steps, it's like, okay, here's how you're going to lose weight. And they're going to run out, and they're going to just join that gym, because we told them to join that gym and start running. But they need a coach. People need a coach. And one of the things that I'm inspired by with your, you know, you itself, is that you are a coach, and I don't want people to lose sight of the fact that that's one of the reasons that we have you here and that we're talking to you, is because they can find all of your coaching techniques as well as you personally, and actually get from that, okay, you should do this, to where you can do this by engaging you and your products and services, if you will. So I really want to make sure that we don't miss that message in this production.
I appreciate that, and let me just say that I wasn't intending to try to talk down on somebody by saying go get a job. What I was trying to actually use that as just a metaphor, which is, hey, what's the one thing you can do? The one thing you can do is just challenge yourself.
Right.
Challenge yourself. And challenge yourself in such a way that you really wake up. You know, and I've had to do this, and I know you guys have had to do this, and we all have to do this on a continuing basis. Challenge yourself to wake up to the truth and the fact of who you are. Each and every one of you has a gift. There is something in you that is seeking to emerge in a big way. There is something that you've always wanted to do that you're just not doing for various reasons, and some of them might be good and some of them might not be, but who cares about the reasons? We're just talking about the truth here. So if you're struggling right now, what I would say to do is I'd do three things. I'd try to sit down and have a nice good conversation with yourself. And that conversation, because there's two forms of communication, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when I spelled character last time, I forgot the C in the middle. So I'm going to, this is the C in the middle, guys. It's called communication. You've got to be able to, there's two ways to communicate. There's communicating with somebody else, such as we're doing right now, Bob and JW and myself, where we're very present to what each of us is saying, as the listeners are, we hope. So you're very present, so that means that you are in a space of active listening. And when you're a good listener, great things happen. And the second form of communication is, how do you communicate with yourself? What do you do when you wake up in the morning? What kind of inner critic and inner dialogue do you have with yourself? So the first thing I would say, if you're struggling in any area of your life, whether it be finances, your health, you know, your weight, your spiritualness, your relationships, whatever it might be, I would just sit down and have a quiet conversation with yourself and try to honestly have a dialogue as to why you're struggling. What is it that's causing you to keep struggling? You know, in your job, it might be you don't like your job, and it doesn't inspire you. And if you just were able to do something different, your life would change. And I believe that's true. So get really clear by having this conversation about what it is that's causing you to struggle. And don't make it like it's them and not you. Be honest with yourself. Again, you create your reality.
Right. I was going to say, this has to be a very honest conversation.
Absolutely. And you know what? It'll be a refreshing conversation. It'll be inspiring conversation. You know, sometimes people don't do that enough. I do it all the time. I'm always questioning myself. I'm always trying to get closer and closer to the real truth of who I am. And sometimes I don't like that conversation, but it has to be had. And it'll clear away the sabotaging beliefs that we all have about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So have that conversation. The second thing that you want to do is, after you have that conversation, you'll have some insights. Hopefully that conversation ends with this question. What can I do right now to shift my focus so I'm moving one step closer to where I want to go? What am I doing right now so I can shift my focus to move one step closer to where I want to go?
No, I'm getting it now. It's not about moving away from... It's about moving towards.
Moving towards. So that's the second thing I want you to do. You have the conversation, ask yourself the question, and then you know the answer because you're asking the question, and then just go do it.
That's great stuff. Paul,
by going to do it, that means you don't have to do it yourself. So be able to just recognize that there is a universal support system out there. You have friends that love you who will help you. You have business associates that love you and help you. You have people that love you and help you. And if you are willing to take the guard down, to take the barrier of connection to somebody else down, people will help you. But that's it. Do that, and what will happen is, you will get so inspired by actually taking the one step, because you'll be doing something that's now not what you've been doing. You'll be out of the stagnation of the process that you've been doing over and over and over, which has been getting the same results. But you'll be into a new flow of your life.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's a little scary for most people because...
Absolutely. Which is really good.
We all spend most of our lives in denial.
You know, I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said it better, you know? And you're absolutely right. It is scary. But you know what? Listen, Bob, as you said, and I'm glad you brought that up, you got two choices. You can stay miserable, stay unhappy, be in those circumstances that you wake up every morning and you say to yourself, oh no, not another day of this. And guys, we all do that. That's the human quality. That's the human condition. But imagine if you could wake up every day and go, oh, I can't wait to get to this day. And the only way we're going to get there is to answer what Bob just said, which is, okay, I know I'm going to have to make some changes. I know it's scary. I know I don't know what's on the other side. But I gotta tell you, if this side looks the way this side looks like, then at least let me go take a chance and see what that other side looks like.
I have a little trick that I do. I notice that when I go to bed at night, all the crap from the day is hitting my brain, and I start thinking about all the crappy things that happened, and I did that for so long. One time I said, okay, I'm going to just think before I go to sleep here while I'm dozing off, I'm just going to think of all the great things that I'm grateful for and all the great things that happened this day.
God, look at that.
And I
love
that. at first, I couldn't think of anything. And then it was just small stuff like, okay, I didn't get a flat tire today, and the boss didn't yell at me today. And after a while, I was just flowing with all kinds of positiveness. It, you know, after a week or so, I just couldn't stop. And so I was excited. You know, I went to bed all excited. I woke up the next morning just feeling, you know, I still do it. I wake up the next morning just going, all right, let's go.
Well, you know, see, that's, Jay, you just hit it on the head. You know, in my day sculpting program, what the last process that we do in the day is a process called review and renew. Mm-hmm. And review and renew is a really simple process. It's about checking into the highlights and insights of your day. And so a highlight is anything that's worked really well for you that you know you need to do more of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And an insight is something that you need to do better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so a day is never good or bad. See, what happens with most people, and by the way, an end-of-the-day review for everybody is a really fabulous thing to do, because it'll get you a lot more clear about what needs to happen tomorrow. But what most people do is exactly what you said, J.W., and I have done this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been through, I've had some tremendously successful days. And when I put my head, right before I put my head on the pillow at night, when I'm doing my little review, if I've done five tremendous things and one not so tremendous thing, I will focus on the not so tremendous thing.
That's the truth.
Rather than focusing on all the good stuff, which will get you to create more good stuff, we focus on what we didn't do, and then we beat ourselves up. So let's call that an insight, what we didn't do. So an insight basically is, let's look at it like, you know what, I didn't do that one thing really well, so if I do this instead, tomorrow I'll do it better. And let's have that kind of attitude.
That takes Xanax, though. I can only get that way with Xanax. I have to have something to calm me down because it pisses me off. But, I mean, you really, you know, it's easy to say. I mean, you really should, you know, live your life. I think the expression is live your life as if every moment is a Kodak moment. And if you don't bear witness to your life, then at the end of the day, you just are the type that will say, wow, look how fast the day went. Look at, you know, I woke up this morning and now it's tonight. And you don't stop to think about anything that you did, let alone whether it was good or bad. And I tend to be, I mean, the only positive thing about waking up in the morning is the fact that I woke up in the morning. And I'm happy with that. But when I speak to friends that are not quite as positive as I am, and most of the time it's not that they're unhappy, it's that they live those quiet lives of desperation where they're content to be not so happy.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how I don't know how you combat that kind of an attitude. You know, I mean, my people have lived that way for thousands of years, right? It's all right. I'll solve it.
Living in your misery is comfortable sometimes.
Well, you know, the Jewish people have an expression. It's all right. I'll suffer because it's okay to suffer. You're supposed to. Your people suffered, and life is not about being happy and fun all the time. So it's difficult to just tell somebody, especially in this economy, when people are out of work and they're committing suicide, that, you know, I think the most important thing is what you said is they're not alone. They have to just be able to accept that there are other people that can help them.
Yeah, and again, you know, listen, my brother was out of work for 2 years, but he got up every day and he did something in the direction of trying to find something that he could do. Plus, he was changing careers.
Right.
Okay, now, I'm not trying to say my brother's, you know, but I'm just using him as an example. Because what happened was, he made a commitment. He made a decision that he could change his life, and he was the only one that was going to do it. And so he went through the process. And like you said, sometimes the process might take a day, sometimes it might take 2 years. But it's better than staying stuck where you're stuck.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons why certain things happen in life. You know, sometimes you get fired from a job or you're let go because the company downsizes. That's, you know, so you don't have any control of that. But you do have control of how you perceive your value.
Right.
You do have control of how you perceive what you can bring to the table in a new situation. And you do have the control over what steps you take so you can create that new situation.
Well, there are two things I'd like to think about when I think about this stuff, Paul Metz. If you just did 10% of what you're talking about, you'd be way ahead. And number two, being miserable and not having the tools to do something about it, and being miserable and having the tools, it's like the lottery. You know, you're not going to win if you don't buy the ticket, at least. So,
absolutely.
So learn the tools, at least. Start there.
You know, if one of the greatest things about life is that each and every one of us has the ability to become a perpetual learner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you knew everything about life, then, you know, I don't know, I guess you'd be, you know, I don't know where you'd be, but
your girlfriend used to say, Charlie used to say, being in the learning line of your life.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you see, life's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was perfect, you'd have nothing to work on.
There you go.
And you want to keep working on yourself, you know. It takes, you know, kid, listen, you know, I'm in my 50s, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of habits I've accumulated along the way that some of them are good, most of them are bad. Okay? You were born into a situation you had no control over, and somebody told you the word no, and all of a sudden no became a mantra for you. Oh, I can't do that. No, I don't know that how to do that. And you know, there's nobody's fault, but the bottom line is that you can either accept the no, or you can turn the no into a yes.
Momentum. You need momentum.
Absolutely. Every day. So
the little 3-foot shot you were talking about earlier makes a lot of sense.
3-foot toss. Exactly right. It creates a momentum mindset. So, you know, it's I mean, I love talking about this stuff. I think it's I think it's really, you know, it's really a refreshing moment in my day to be able to do this. You know, I mean, excuse me, I'm in the middle of or in the beginning of a product launch right now,
mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of things to do, and you know, but it's a good microcosm of life because there's trials, there's tribulations, there's successes, there's wins. There's challenges, but each one of them is an opportunity.
That's true.
And so never, to the listeners, never look at your life as being worthless, or if I just would have done this, or I just would have done that. The if I woulds, or the if I shoulds, or the if I coulds, those things will kill you. Just know that you have the ability to do whatever it is that you want to do in life, and all you have to do is be willing to commit to finding the resources to help you get there. And the more committed you are, the more persistent you are, the more determined you are, the more consistent you are, then the sooner they're going to show up for you. And so this whole character of success thing, which is a coaching program designed to get you really clear, present, enthusiastic, and willing to take the action to get to where you want to go, will help you in your life. And whether you do that or something else, do something.
Do something. There you go.
Well, Paul, you know, first of all, we rarely endorse things on these interviews, but I've known you several years. And we've worked together and done stuff together, and I treasure your friendship. I totally believe that not only do you teach, but you live what you teach, and you teach by example. And not only are you a good friend, but a good person. And so I believe that you're correct. People have to go out there. They have to do something. But I'm going to stretch out a little bit and say that I endorse your program. I've seen it. I know who you are. And if people on this phone call know from what they've heard that they need to make some changes, do whatever you need to do. But definitely consider calling Paul or going to successsongs.com and getting some more information, because these are the changes that you need in your life. And you can wait for something drastic to happen. or you can decide that you want to make a shift and make it happen. It's up to you.
Yeah. I'll definitely go to the site successsongs.com and grab the free song. And some of what Paul uses is music as a trigger, something to trigger off of to get you back to a state of positive action, and it's really terrific. And even for just that, just take a look around and grab his song. It's definitely worth the look.
Right, and let me say one other thing too. You know, and this is for all those people, such as the listeners here who've actually taken action because they're listening to something. So when you take an action, then you're in the flow of forward motion. That if you're interested in any of my work, and you're interested in working with me, then here's my email. My email is paul@successsongs.com. And what I would encourage you to do is before you decided to work with me, you call me or you email me and I'll set up a call with you, because I only want to work with people who are serious about making changes in their life. And on the converse side of that, those of you who want to work with somebody should only work with somebody who's willing to give you their time, their energy, and their expertise so that you feel like you have a partner in that process. And that's what I commit to when I work with people.
That's great.
That's big, Paul, because you and I both know there's a zillion life coaches out there. And to be honest with you, a lot of life coaches I've met, they don't drive such a good car and don't live in such a great place, and they're not always necessarily happy, so I don't necessarily want them coaching me.
Well, you know, they say you got to be congruent with what you're doing, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
And I know where you live, and I know your life, and I know how you are, and you know, you are that magnet person who everybody loves to be around, and I know I love to be around you. We always have a good time. So,
and I feel the same way about you, JW and Bob. We've never met personally, but you know, I get your energy and I get your vibe, and you guys are doing a great thing by having these this call and this series and this program and being committed to bringing your listeners the very best that you can to help them create the very best in their life. So I just want to acknowledge you both for your brilliance and your effort and your commitment to doing that.
Well, I want to thank you very much.
All right, and I'll never get your jingles out of my head now, so
well, that's
30 years.
Well, you know, Bob, they're designed for that, okay?
All right, well, thanks again, Paul. It was great.
You're welcome. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and just remember one thing. It's your day. Make it a great one.
All right.
Thanks, Paul. This is J.W. Nigerian and Bob Schechter of Fools Media Group at networkingfools.com. If you want to listen to more interviews, go to www.networkingfools.com, and you can find many great interviews there. By the way, we make no money by endorsing or not endorsing any of the speakers or products that we talk about. We just like them and want to share them with you. Anyway, everybody have a great day, a great week, a great month, and you want to say anything, Bob?
No, we've been. Thank you very much.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Networking Fools show, featured on the Networking Fools website at www.networkingfools.com. Networking Fools is the property of Fools Media Group. Networking Fools, Networking Fool, Network Fool are trademarks of Fools Media Group, LLC. And this audio is copyright 2010, and all rights are reserved.